I'm here in contrast to the noisy Pavilion Gardens Cafe where I usually am, in a place that's got its own silence, but a good kind of silence, because for me this is the silence of expectation that some theatre's going to burst forth soon here in the old courtroom. And I'm joined with by Tony Jaff. And Tony, this is the fourth year for the old courtroom, so my first question to you is, as you've gone in year after year and then reflected and learned, you've made changes. And yeah. So if we compare year one to year four, what's different in year four to year one in the old courtroom?
First of all, we've got a much wider, broader programme. In year one, when I started from scratch, I was approaching people. Now I actually get approaches. I've actually had approaches now for next year at this time. I mean, people from Edinburgh, we're better known, and therefore I can build up a broader programme. It's the largest programme I've done. Secondly, inside the theatre, every time we've learned from performers what they want, and although it's a beautiful building, one of the problems we have was that it's panelled walls and it's not exactly a theatre. So I did a lot of research, because we're a listed building here and we're not allowed to touch the structure and put up a rail, for example. And I found a freestanding black box which changes the whole aspect of the place, which is the first time. Also, little things like we've got old courtroom uniforms for everybody, so we look more professional. And we've learned what people want. And it's become a more professional and better used and better night working space.
And now in the fringe landscape as a whole, which has changed in Brighton, where does the old courtroom sit in that family of venues?
Got to ask them, I have no clue.
But for you, I mean, do you look to now stage in that programme a very particular brand of theatre? What's the flavour of the old courtroom's programme?
It's got to be a very Catholic-type programme. I always wanted children to be able to come here and perform as well as see things. I want a whole mixture of music, different types of music, shows that may not work in other venues, coming here and having an opportunity to display. It's a balance of everything I can get, so it's not just limited to one type of theatre or one type of music or one type of anything.
And I guess just not pushing the Catholic metaphor too far, but this is also a tea and, you know, the best flapjacks in the city rather than a booze-up sort of venue.
Well, you ought to know, you've eaten enough of them. The best homemade biscuits. And we like doing things like PIMS and soft drinks and make your own tea and take it inside the theatre. A relaxed atmosphere. I also found that we tried to make it welcoming from the minute people walk in. It's not just here, give us your ticket and go in. It wants to be a fun place and everybody helping. And that's what we've built up a reputation for. And I'm delighted with it. Lovely.
And we've got these black flats now that can be moved, so it looks even more like a theatre space, even though year-round this is more of a kind of lecture room, but it's got the signs of the old courtroom here, and there is this silence. So what's the flavour of the venue? What kind of theatre kind of does well here because of the acoustics and the space?
We had last night, starting us off, a women's a cappella group, and we've had other singing groups before, but the black box seems to have improved the audibility and the sound at the back. But one person plays work exceptionally well, but again, we're doing Titus this afternoon, there's a cast of thousands, and that works well, so I can't answer that. It's really, people fit into the space, it seems to accept everybody.
And in terms of, just so people kind of get an idea of this, when you are in the run-up to this venue, you know, like in Edinburgh, you only get in at a certain time. What's the workload like?
We got in at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we had to get set up in about 3 hours, and that is getting up the lighting, getting the staging and everything working. And with a group of people who come in, everybody knows what they're doing now. This year I've got two drama students who are coming in, not technically for mentoring, but I'm mentoring them, and they are learning every aspect from lighting to box office to washing up to clearing the floor and putting on shows. And everybody knows the job and gets on with it, and within 3 hours we'd transformed it, which is marvellous.
You've seen a lot of theatre over the years, and I'm not going to give away your age, but actually you're looking younger than ever, Tony, seeing you here. But how's the fringe scene changed? I mean, is it what marks out these last couple of years from years before?
Well, I have my own opinions about the fringe, as you know. I think it frankly, is in the wrong time of year. I think we should be running up to Edinburgh rather than doing it at the same time as the festival, because we're spreading the audience thinner. And the more venues that operate, you don't get correspondingly more people coming down from London, and therefore we're spreading the marmalade thinner. That's my personal view. But I don't think the Fringe has particularly changed. I think it is also learning all the time. And we're working together and as venues and to try and make it more attractive.
In terms of the actual work, I mean, we're in a recession and, you know, the television generation gets more and more, and yet theatre audiences are holding up pretty well, aren't they?
For this year, they've been remarkably good at this time. More advanced bookings than I have had in any year, whether it's the programme, whether it's the Fringe, whether it's development, I don't know. But it has happened. And but I have also, and I'm sure other venues have, when people have said, what should we charge, I said, you've got to keep them down, because anything, if you start going into double figures and heavy figures, unless you're a sort of an established West End star, I think money starts to become important.
And just a couple of technical questions, really. As I look around the space here again, it's a very, very high ceiling and a very, very steep rake. And what are the virtues of that? What kind of, you know, things have surprised you about the, you know, the benefits of having that kind of shape?
Well, I was surprised. One of the things is there's a curious intimacy. You can be right at the top at the back, and you feel as though you're almost on stage. It's a remarkable surrounding. People come in, they stand, look up, and think, wow. And then when they sit down in these extremely comfortable seats, I must say, they're the best comfortable seats we've had. And you feel as though you're in the theatre, in the stage, and that's a marvellous experience.
Final question then. Old Courtroom going ahead, let's picture it in a few years' time. Is it going to be in your hands? Are you handing it over? Are you going to go on as long as you can? You know, what's the future for the Old Courtroom?
So you want me to give away the age? Okay, I am now unhappy to say that I'm an octogenarian. And it depends on how this body lasts out. The mind is still okay, in part. The body depends on the body. But I'm hoping that even if I can't do it full-time, that I'm going to find people who are going to come work it either with me or take it over in the way which I've been developing it. But at the moment, I have no plans to retire.
Thank you very much, Tony.